Welcome to the Occult London podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics of interest. In this new series, we will be exploring different concepts in relation to the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, as well as the Western mystery tradition and magical techniques, and we will also be focusing on some practical techniques as well. I'm your host, Will, and I will be guiding you on this journey and this discussion. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. We're also on Facebook at Occult London Podcast as well. Hope you enjoy it. In tonight's episode, we will be looking at the art of guided visualization or pathworking. This is a technique which has been used extensively in the Western mystery tradition, particularly within individuals as well as magical groups as well. And it's a really interesting technique which I did highly recommend. To give you some background on pathworking, so they're an ancient form of occult training, but only in recent times have they kind of really been released into the world and become more popular. The technique essentially describes a meditation process involving using the imagination and the visualization to astrally or mentally project up the Tree of Life, so up the paths of the Tree of Life, in order to gain information, instructions, meet entities, and also speak to them and communicate. They're very different to normal meditation practice in that it involves more active visualization. And this is something Marion Green describes quite well when she says the following. Meditation is an altered state of consciousness in which you cause to be concerned with the time and place in which you are sitting and enter a world of information affecting various senses. It is an inward looking, waiting and perceiving state in which impressions and feelings can make themselves felt. It is an essentially passive activity, for apart from continuing to maintain a relaxed and attentive state, you are not directing the material that comes to you. Creative visualization, on the other hand, is a method of directing what you see and of creating from fragments already in your memory a new place or condition. It is the most important key for practical magical work and allows you to direct your will effectively through the images you create. And that's a quote by Marion Green from her book Magic for the Aquarian Age, which I believe is out of print these days, but if you can find a secondhand copy, it's definitely worth having a read. More recently, some other authors have also described visualized journeys and pathworking as well. And this has become particularly popular with regards to exploring the different paths of the Tree of Life in the Kabbalah. So Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki says the following about the technique of pathworking. Pathworking is a journey between the side of the mental world and the other side. One of the most exciting journeys mankind can take because it offers a path, a map, through the landscapes of the mind. Landscapes that are as yet barely explored and offers one of the last great frontiers. They are the doorways between the known and the physical, and the unknown and the non-corporeal. They accomplish their work through the medium of creative imagination, which is the ability, is the seed from which everything made and produced by mankind has sprung. And that's from Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki, The Shining Paths book, which is highly recommended. The creative imagination mentioned by Dolores is also called the magical imagination, or the power of controlled visualization, which is one of the keys to magic. Essentially, through focused imagination, we can cause changes in our world. And this is something that Nick Farrell says well when he describes the following. The term magical imagination refers to the art of changing your consciousness to rebuild aspects of your life and self, to bring about a transformation of your environment. Everyone builds around them an impression of reality, a unique image of the universe from their own perspective. This universe is built from countless experiences since birth. These are the lessons we have taught ourselves or accepted as gospel from our parents, teachers, friends, and society. Over the years, our universe becomes more defined, meaning that we can handle more of what our life throws at us. And that's from his book, Magical Imagination. And also William Westcott, who is one of the key founders of the Golden Dawn, described this magical imagination as the following. Imagination is the creative faculty of the human mind, the plastic energy of the formative power. It is an ancient hermetic dogma that any idea can be made to manifest externally, if only by culture, the art of concentration be obtained. Man, by his creative power through will and thought, was more divine than the angels, for he can create and they cannot. So what he's saying there is obviously mankind has this incredible creative power within us, and this is very much represented in the tarot cards by the image of the magician who is directing the force from above down through his hands and his to the tools on the table. So this is very much using his will and this concept of creative imagination to bring about manifestation through the elements of the earth. And this is unique to mankind, that we can direct our will and actually manifest what we want. To show that imagination can work, Nick Farrell mentions an exercise in his book, Magical Imagination, which I think is worth trying. So if you shut your eyes and imagine a castle, after a few seconds, open your eyes and describe that castle out loud. You'll find that you'll have a very full picture of what the castle looks like after a few seconds of thinking about it. Where did all that information come from? Because you could say that it's based on memory of a house or maybe a film you've seen in the past or a book. But if so, did you, you know, was it the same as you've just experienced when you thought about it? And this is the amazing thing about the imagination. So all of this ideas of imagine a castle that stemmed from that particular phrase. And your mind came up with this amazing and beautiful picture off the back of me telling you to imagine a castle. So you can see it's pretty fantastic. And this is, you know, where that comes from, who knows. Jung would have said that the ideas and the details would not necessarily come from you, but would potentially come from the unconscious, or what they call the collective unconscious. So that, you know, there's this big ocean of imaginative forms out there which are common to all human beings, and through an ability within our mind we can potentially tap into that huge pool of concepts, images and ideas. The concept of pathworking is relatively new, I'd say, in the Western mystery tradition, although we don't have a much kind of record of it before the magical revival of the 19th century, but it's probably something that's existed for a lot longer than that. And it, you know, as it's such a key part of the magical process, you know, it's highly likely that this would stem back to, you know, the dawn of time, so ancient Egypt, and, you know, shamanic practices as well before that. Certainly the technique of pathworking is very similar to the ancient Egyptian magic of assumption of the god form, where you would actually take on the form of a specific god. So the priest would actually assume the form of Thoth or Anubis in order to carry out a divine function within the temple. It's also described heavily by authors such as Dion Fortune, Israel Regardi, as well as Osborne Phillips and the Golden Dawn. There's different types of pathworking. So in some traditions, it's used as a method of kind of raising one's consciousness from a lower Sephiroth to a higher Sephiroth through a guided meditation read out by a facilitator. However, Dion Fortune suggests a more free-form approach in that the leader would have, you know, leave long spaces and gaps where the path workers can privately meditate. So essentially, you're leading the group who are meditating to a place, and then they're going to carry on from that. She also recommends her own particular method for the composition of place. So you kind of create an astral scene that one experiences at the start of the vision. And this is described quite well in her novel, The Goatfoot God, which is a great book. She says, in his imagination, he performed the composition of place, reconstructing the scene from what he could remember from the classics. So laboriously and unprofitably rammed into his head at Harrow. So it's this, the character in the novel is actually recreating this particular place that he remembers as a boy from reading all these books. And that's something we can all do when we use the pathworking technique. You know, there's always places that you can imagine and remember from when you were a child, you know, very vividly. It could be your first bedroom, or it could be a garden, or you know, a particular book that you really liked, Treasure Island, for instance, and you would use that as a technique to go into that other world. The practice of pathworking is also quite similar to the active imagination technique created by Jung. So active imagination is a conscious method of experimentation. So it kind of employs the creative imagination as an organ for perceiving outside your own mental boxes. For the first 100 years, it was kind of primarily applied by individuals to explore their own sub and unconscious. So it was used a lot in kind of psychotherapeutic settings until, you know, in the 1970s, you've got these movements like the inner child and things like that. And then active imagination slowly started coming out of that therapeutic place into, you know, into other things as well. So, for instance, architecture and, you know, biology and things like that as well. What active imagination seeks to perceive is already present. So fantasy intends to create where nothing yet exists. And Jung describes it quite well when he says the following in his book, The Conjunction. You choose a dream or some other fantasy image and concentrate on it by simply catching hold of it and looking at it. You then fix this image in the mind by concentrating your attention. Usually it will alter, as the mere fact of contemplating it animates it. The alterations must be carefully noted down all the time, for they reflect the psychic processes in the unconscious background, which appear in the form of images consisting of conscious memory material. In this way, conscious and unconscious are united, just as a waterfall connects above and below. So pathworking essentially is similar to active imagination in the sense that it's almost like a waterfall that connects the above and the below. Jung continues to say that, you know, the individual, rather than observing the events, will take an active part in the scene as a participant or character. So this has the ultimate aim, according to Jung, of kind of assimilating lessons from the unconscious into the conscious mind, and thus it aids in the process of individuation. So individuation is Jung's term for the process of psychic healing and integration of all parts of the psyche. And Jung notices different types of fantasies occurring throughout his practice. So you get these images of from your own past, which would be, you know, memories and potentially traumatic memories as well, particularly things that are emotionally charged. We tend to, you know, run through our mind continuously over and over again. But then he also noticed through his experiments that there was the kind of big part of kind of mythological, archetypal, spiritual and religious stuff that was coming through, which might not necessarily have any connection to one's memory, but has this very kind of clear experiences and dreams and visions. And Jung realized that this kind of mythological and spiritual symbols are common to mankind, and that, you know, everyone would start to experience those types of images if you could get them into that, you know, kind of trance state. And, you know, there's obviously a lot of crossover there in terms of this archetypal symbolic language that Jung talks about and the magical symbolic language that we talk about when we talk about the magical Kabbalah and the, you know, the images and symbols of the Western mystery tradition. And this is something that's mentioned quite nicely by Alex Sumner on his blog when he says the following: hence, whereas it seems that with the active imagination, Jung was drawn inadvertently to the archetypes of the collective unconscious, in pathworking, the hermetic student is deliberately given a set framework within which to explore those archetypes him or herself. If we continue the Jungian comparison, we can infer that just as in analytical psychology, active imagination is a vital tool to affect individuation. In the Kabbalah, pathworking affects a similar kind of process. It is an aid to help the pathworker progress along the initiatory path. The big question, I guess, we need to ask is, do the paths of the tree represent archetypes, and do people have, you know, same experiences on the path? And this is something that I think there's certainly definitely symbols and experiences that people will have on different paths of the tree of life. It definitely helps if you don't be too prescriptive in terms of the symbols or the experiences that people have when they go through the pathworking or the active visualization, but simply guide them so that they can then experience things for themselves. That's definitely what I would recommend. So how do you do pathworking? In terms of the process, and I'll recommend some books at the end, the process of doing pathworking, generally speaking, would be, you know, you do the relaxation techniques that we've discussed in a previous episode, get yourself into that state, and then either you would memorize a pathworking, and there's various different books out there which would have, detailed pathworkings in them, which you can just use, or you could write one yourself. So it could be, for instance, I'm walking through a forest, and you go down the path and you see in front of you an ancient stone building, and there is a heavy oak door. You open the door, you go in, you meet a guide, etc. So you can do things like that. If there's a particular mythological story that you're particularly interested in as well, you can use those techniques to kind of explore mythology, and you can also use it in the technique of actually where you become the god or the goddess. So you can actually imagine yourself as Persephone going down into the underworld, for instance, and that would just give you a much deeper kind of experience of that particular archetype. Or the other technique as well is you can ask someone to, you know, read a guided pathworking to you. As I said, there's plenty of them in the books, and I'll give you some examples at the end of this episode. So, you know, you can use some of those, and they'll really help. Alternatively, You can also record them on a tape recorder and play them back to yourself, and that's a very good technique as well. One of the things that's really important, I think, when you're working with this type of work is developing the visualization skill. And it's definitely worth listening to the episode that we have on visualization and developing the imagination, because that will really, really help you when you are looking at doing pathworking. It's a good idea to learn to observe things around you and gather data in the form of pictures. So visit new places if you can. Obviously, we're on lockdown at the moment, so that's probably a bit difficult, but it's worth kind of keeping a scrapbook and actually starting to, you know, keep pictures that you like, add them to that book, and you know, you'll start to build up this kind of visual library. Also, it's good practices to go out and actually just, you know, look at things. So really kind of focus. What does that flower look like? How does it smell? How does it taste? What is its texture? So, and then you can actually start to use all of those techniques to actually be able to kind of picture these things in your mind as well. So as I said, there is an episode we've done on visualization. So definitely listen to that, because that's got some really strong techniques on how to develop that skill. Moving on to some books on pathworking. So yeah, there's a few books I'd recommend. Magical States of Consciousness, Pathworking's on the Tree of Life by Llewellyn. That is a very good book. It's Osborne Phillips and Melita Denning, and the first kind of book that made pathworking widely available. So they go through the process of how to do it, and then also how to climb up the tree, the paths of the Tree of Life, understand them better, as well as exploring the different sephira. So I believe it's still in print, definitely worth recommending. Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki, Shining Paths, 1983. That's a really excellent book of magical pathworkings based on the 32 paths of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And again, this is the type of book you can use either yourself by kind of memorizing it or recording it on a recorder, or you can also get someone to read it out to you so you can really kind of explore that as well. She also is quite helpful because she has a kind of discussion about the individual paths and the experiences and correspondences and symbolism associated with it as well. So it's really worth, you can really increase your knowledge of the Tree of Life from that way. Another book by Dolores is Highways of the Mind, which is the art and history of pathworking. And this is a book that kind of covers the development of the pathworking technique right back from earliest cave paintings through the Egyptian Book of the Dead, the Bardic tradition, and then Storytellers of Ireland, and etc. And it really kind of tells you lots of stuff about the theory and how it works and why it works. Another book by Dolores as well, which I can recommend, which is a bit more advanced, is The Initiate's Book of Pathworkings. And this book is different to her previous book we just mentioned, The Shining Paths, because it's takes you on a journey through the ancient civilizations. So you look at Egypt, Greece, Celtic, you know, Alexandria, and then into kind of these futuristic pathworkings. And you'll find your way into the kind of mystical realms of the Tree of Life. There's angelic and elemental beings, as well as, you know, more kind of shamanic stuff as well with regards to, you know, the fairies and kind of nature-based elementals. And it's a really good book, and very worth kind of picking up if you're not so keen on using the Tree of Life, for instance. If you just want to explore pathworking as a technique using kind of mythological symbols, then that's a book I'd recommend. And finally, Garden of Pomegranates, Israel Regardi. This is a very famous book, and used to be one of the main books that are on the Tree of Life, really, for magicians. It is... It includes a lot of information and material by Chick Cicero and Sandra Cicero, and includes pathworkings for each of the paths of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life, as well as the Sephiroth. And It's a lot more hermetic, I would say, in its approach, and a lot more magical. And I wouldn't say the pathworkings in there are the easiest for someone to learn straight away. I would recommend Dolores' Shining Paths book if you want to kind of get a beginner's introduction to it. I find the Garden of Pomegranates, there's kind of an assumption that you know various symbols and gestures and things like that, which, you know, you probably might not necessarily do that. So I think it's a bit more advanced. But yeah, excellent book. Really highly recommended. So hopefully that gives people something to be getting along with and working with. As I said, the best way to learn pathworking is to actually go out there and do it. So don't spend hours and hours reading books and planning that you're going to do it. Just literally pick up a book and, you know, order a book on Amazon, etc. And yeah, just give it a try, see if you like it. I personally find it's one of the best techniques out there for, you know, getting some really deep insights from meditation. And it can also be used in a more ritual context as well. So you can actually incorporate pathworking as part of a much longer ceremony as well. So that's all we've got time for today. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Thanks very much for joining us this week on the Occult London podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes or Stitcher. And you can also join the Facebook group, which is Occult London. if you enjoyed it, we'd really appreciate a rating. So please do add a rating. It's just a star, like a tap thing, so it should only take you a second, but it would just help us to get this show out there and hopefully start producing some more content for everybody. And yeah, thank you very much, and speak to you all soon. Thank you.